Matthew 5, as we are going through the Sermon on the Mount, we have been hitting some very, very practical areas. And I realize it's been kind of rough lately as we've dealt with some really heavy subjects. Bear with me, we'll get through it in just another week or so here. But this morning we're going to look at the subject of lying. Speaking the Truth is the title of my message. And we're going to look at what Jesus has to say about being honest in our speech. That when we speak, that we should speak from a sincere heart, and that there should be honesty in our speech and our communication. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Jesus says, "Again you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thy oaths. But I say unto you," verse 34, "swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is God's footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shall you swear by thy head, because you cannot make one hair black or white, but let your communication," your speech, "be yes or no, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." In their book, The Day America Told the Truth, James Patterson and Peter Kim wrote these words, "Americans lie. They lie more than we had ever thought possible before this study. Just about everyone lies. 91% of us lie on a regular basis. The majority of us find it hard to get through a week without lying. 1 in 5 cannot make it through a single day. And we're talking about conscience premeditated lies. In fact, the way some people talk about trying to do without lies, you'd think that they were smokers trying to get through a day without a cigarette. When we refrain from lying, it is less often because we think it's wrong, only 45% think it's wrong, than for a variety of other reasons. Among them, the fear of being caught, 17% fall into that group. The majority of Americans today, 2 in every 3, believe that there is nothing wrong with telling a lie. Only 31% of us believe that honesty is the best policy." Now, that book was written in 1991, and it's an interesting book that deals with a lot of different issues in America. And as I said, the title is The Day America Told the Truth. Now, the only way they could get America to tell the truth for the book is to tell them that they would be anonymous and that no one would know who they were and they wouldn't get in trouble. So for one day, America told the truth. It's funny, in this chapter, they told the truth about lying. Isn't that interesting? Okay, I'll be honest with you, I lie. And they discovered that we are a nation of liars. Now, with what is going on right now with the impeachment of the President of the United States, I think we are sadly aware of the fact that we are a nation of liars. And then we have come to, sadly, accept the fact that lying is just now a part of our culture, that it's so integrated in our cultural kind of relationships that we just lie and we have come to believe that there's nothing wrong with it. Well, today in our text taken from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus calls us as His disciples living in the kingdom of God to truthfulness of speech. Jesus is calling us to honesty in the things that we say as well as in the things that we do. A truthfulness of speech that comes not from an outward conformity of the law like the scribes and the Pharisees, but from an inward attitude of the heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the Bible says. And if our speech is to be sincere, guess what? Our hearts must be sincere, undivided. If our speech is to be truthful, then our hearts must be true to God, to ourselves, and to others. And so Jesus is dealing again with the contrast between the legalistic view of the Pharisees and the scribes concerning oaths and swearing and honesty, and to what God really wants of us as His believers: truthful speech, which comes from a sincere truthful, and honest heart. Now, there are three things that we're going to look at concerning the sincerity of speech. The first is the principle of the law in the Old Testament. What did God say in the Old Testament about our speech or swearing in oaths? Notice it in verse 33. Jesus says, "Again, you have heard it hath been said." Now, he's using the same formula that he has previously concerning the law of murder. You've heard it has been said, "Thou shalt not kill or murder. But I say unto you that if you have anger in your heart, you've murdered someone." Or you've heard it hath been said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say if you lust after someone, you've committed adultery in your heart." The Pharisees say that you can get a divorce for any and every cause. "But I say unto you, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder." And he emphasized the permanence of marriage. He said, "Moses allowed you because of the hardness of what? Your hearts." You see, God is looking at our hearts. And so now he comes to the issue of speech. Now, what he says there in quoting the Old Testament, verse 33, is actually a composite of Old Testament scriptures. Jesus is not quoting any one verse from the Old Testament. He's taking Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, which says, "You shall not take the name of your Lord, of the Lord God, in vain." So that's that commandment in the Ten Commandments where we are not to take God's name in vain. Now, there are many ways we do that. We do that in simple ways, like just saying the name of the Lord or Jesus Christ in swear words or cuss words or in anger. Why is it when somebody hurts themselves or gets angry or something, why is it they say Jesus? I mean, why don't they say, "Oh, Buddha"? You know, some guy's nailing with a hammer, whack, it's just, "Oh, Confucius." I mean, you don't hear him say that. It's always Jesus. Or putting God's name with other swear words and just profanely or flippantly, carelessly, throwing the name of God around. We are a nation of profaners. We profane the name of God. We use it in such a way without reverence or respect. And it's sad and tragic. Or we can take the name of Christ as even a Christian. Claim to believe in God, but we live inconsistently with that. We are taking the name of God in vain. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I live inconsistent with the teachings of Christ, I am taking His name in vain. Then Jesus also was alluding to Leviticus 19:12. Where it says there, "You shall not swear by the name falsely," or "by my name falsely." Which means that if we, you know, make an oath to the Lord, we need to be honest in what we say. And then Numbers 30, verse 2, "When a man takes a vow to the Lord and swears by an oath, he must keep that vow." In other words, you say, "God, I promise I'll do that," then you better do it. How many times people have been arrested, thrown in jail, and they get real spiritual? "Oh God, if you get me out of here. Oh God, if you just light my sin. Oh God, if you can just get me out of this place, I'll change, I'll follow you." And the minute they get released, "Thank you, God. See you next time, I'm busted." You put God back up on the shelf, and when an emergency comes, you run and get Him. "Oh God, just get me out of this. Oh Lord. Oh Lord, I just pray I won't get arrested. Oh, thank you." And then we forget the vows that we make to the Lord. And then there's Exodus 20, verse 16, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor," another one of the Ten Commandments, which means thou shalt not lie. And it had the idea of committing perjury. You are not to lie or perjure yourself. Now, the principle basically is this. God's law was to prohibit false swearing or lying or perjury. That is making a vow as well and breaking it, saying something you don't really mean. I think of people who get married and say their vows. As a matter of fact, if you're married, you ought to remind yourself of the vows that you made before God and man. Sickness and in health, richer for poor, death do us part, to love, to cherish, and to honor. Remember the vows that you made. And remember that love is not a passing emotion, it's a continual devotion, it's a commitment you make. You don't bail out when, oh, things aren't good for me anymore. It's a commitment you make to that person. And the Bible actually says that that is binding, that you should keep the vows that you make unto the Lord. So that is the basic principle. An oath was to remind us of the solemnness of that vow and the importance of speaking the truth. The question for us this morning is are you truthful in your speech? When you utter words, can they be depended on as being true? Now, that's the principle of the law. But secondly, I want to point out the perversion of that law by the scribes and the Pharisees in verse 34 to 36. Jesus says, "Swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king." And then he says, "Neither by your head, because you can't make one hair white or black." That was before the days of Lady Clairol. And they couldn't bleach or dye or change their hair color back then. "But let your communication be yes or no." Now, the Pharisees had perverted God's law of swearing or oath-taking by shifting people's attention away from the vow itself and the need to keep it to the formula making the vow. Listen very carefully. The emphasis with the Pharisees wasn't being truthful, but how you say the vow. Now, they did this by putting vows into two classes, the binding vows and the non-binding vows, or the binding contracts and the non-binding contracts. Now, the difference between the two was if you used the name of God or the name of the Lord in your vow, then it was binding. You had to keep it. But if you didn't use the name of the Lord in your vow, then it wasn't binding and you didn't have to keep it. So what happened was, is they began to try to do everything they could to make vows but not really use the name of God. So they would say, "Well, I swear by heaven, but I didn't use God's name, nanny, nanny, nanny. I don't have to keep it." Or they would say, "Oh, I swear by earth," but they didn't use God's name, so they didn't have to keep it. Or, "I swear by Jerusalem." Jesus says, "Listen, you can't do that, guys. Heaven is His throne, earth is God's footstool, and Jerusalem is the city of the king." I mean, you can't kind of put your life in compartments. "Well, God doesn't have anything to do in this area of my life." God permeates every aspect of our life, including our speech. And He wants us truthful in our speech. It's kind of like maybe when you were younger. You remember the old thing of crossing your fingers when you'd say something, put it behind your back? How stupid. Where did we ever get the idea that if I have my fingers crossed behind my back, oh, I don't have to do it? I have my fingers crossed, ha, ha, ha. And we lay some big thing on somebody, you know, we're smiling and we got our hand behind our back with our fingers crossed. I don't have to do it. And so they become a society of liars, just like the United States. How can we even survive as a nation or as a culture or people without truth? Can you imagine what it would be like to live literally in a nation where everyone lied? You couldn't believe anyone. How could you relate to anyone or function in any way if you couldn't believe what anyone said? And so the Pharisees were, in a sense, crossing their fingers, holding their hand behind their back, and they were lying about everything. And Jesus is wanting to show them, hey, God looks at your heart. And God wants your speech to be truthful and sincere. And so we find that they became legalistic. They emphasized the letter of the law. Now, there are a lot of people that do this in different ways in churches today. They don't emphasize a relationship with Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of God dwells in you, that He will lead you and guide you, or even that the Scriptures themselves are the rule, but they come up with extra-biblical rules, regulations, and they find loopholes in order to accommodate their sin. Well, you know, we think it's sinful to maybe, say, dance, but as long as you do not dance on Saturday night, it's okay. Well, is it sinful or not? Well, yes, but if you do it Saturday night and you don't take your Bible with you and you don't wear your blue suede shoes, it's okay. You know, I mean, give me a break. I often have people ask me, can Christians dance? I say, some can, some can't. The ones I've seen dance ought not to. You know, a woman came up to me after, oh, you know, wow, you said it's okay to dance. Can I go dancing? Well, wait a minute. Let me explain what I mean. God looks at your heart. And that's an area of Christian liberty. And it would be wrong for me to say it's sin or you can't do it. That's between you and God. But the Pharisees, they became legalistic and they emphasized the letter of the law rather than the spirit of the law. And so they were lying and thought it was okay simply because they didn't throw God's name in there. Hey, that's not the issue. God sees your heart. He wants truthfulness in our speech. And then they also had compartmentalized their lives by saying, well, I can say I swear by heaven, but, you know, that doesn't concern God. We get the idea that we can live our lives in different compartments. I can be a Christian on Sunday and a heathen on Monday. I can talk one way around my family and another way around the guys at work. Here's a little test you can do. Say, take some of you guys. Are your words consistent wherever you are with whom you are, whomever you're with? If you're with your wife, at your home, with your kids, is your speech one way? And then when you go to work around the guys, do things come out of your mouth that you'd never say in front of your wife? Well, I don't talk like that around front of the women. Well, then you shouldn't talk that way, period. Oh, this, you know, I don't talk like that in front of my kids, but when I'm with the guys, yeah, you know, I use those words. Well, what's wrong with you? You live your life in little compartments? Who are you anyway? Which is the real you? The one that's at home with your wife and kids, or the person that's at work with the guys? And that's the problem about lying. You never know who you really are. And you live your life in these little compartments. Well, I'm a Christian on Sunday, but, you know, on Monday during the week, I live however I want. They believed that God's name was, if it was left out, it was okay to lie. So they divided themselves into these little compartments. Now, what is the true purpose of the law? The principle of the law is be honest. The perversion of the law is looking for loopholes to accommodate your own sin, being legalistic. Well, it's okay. When I swore, it wasn't Sunday. Or I didn't use God's name, or I wasn't in church, so it's okay. The true purpose of the law Jesus gives to us in verse 37. It's so simple. He says, let your communication, the word in the Greek is your logos, your spoken words, let them be yes or no. King James says, yea, yea, nay, nay. Sounds like a bunch of horses. It's yes or no. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil, or some have the evil one. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Lying originated with the devil. And when you are a liar, you are in the devil's camp. You are actually following Satan. Now, Jesus in verse 34, when he says, swear not at all, by the way, he's not saying that we can never sign a binding contract. We can never take an oath or swear in a court of law. He's basically saying that we should be truthful whether we are under oath or not. That we tell the truth not because we're under oath, but because we're truthful. That's the secret. You see, the thing is being a truthful person. Jesus is saying is don't be kind of the person. You have to swear to everything to get people to believe you. You know the type. Man, I swear to God, I saw it. Really? Yeah, swear to God, man. Man, am I suspicious of people that have to swear to God to get me to believe them. You know, it's another funny thing we say when we're talking. We'll use a little phrase like, to be honest with you, yes. Well, what have you been up to this point? A liar? Or you'll say, you know, I'm really going to be honest with you. So you've been lying up to this point. People that have to swear to get you to believe them are not living lives that are consistent in their speech. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. I like one translation I read says, when you say yes, mean yes. When you say no, mean no. Now, isn't that a profound thought? I mean, we put someone under oath, and then even under oath, we got to figure out, now, what did you mean by yes? What did you mean by no? Well, no means yes, and yes means no. We redefine words to accommodate our sin. Jesus is saying, be a truthful person. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Psalm 51, verse 6, David said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. In Ephesians, it says that as believers, we should speak the truth in love. I like what Warren Wiersbe says. He says, truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. You know, we got to be sensitive. We don't just walk up to someone and say, you know, you're really ugly. Pastor said, be truthful. Well, that may be true, but it's not very kind. And then we can be loving, but not truthful. Oh, you look so lovely. You know, in our minds, we're thinking, man, is she ugly? Well, it was a nice thing to say. I was just trying to be nice. Yeah, but you knew it wasn't true. So it's a real challenge to speak the truth in love. In Proverbs 12, verse 2, it says, the Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in men who are truthful. In our marriages, we must speak the truth in love. To our children and our parents, we must speak the truth in love. At work, on the job, we must speak the truth in love. And with our friends and neighbors, we must speak the truth in love. Now, have you ever thought about some of the reasons why people lie? It's interesting. The most grievous cause of lies is malice and hatred. Malice and hatred. You hate somebody and you speak a lie against them. In Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword. And we may say sticks and stones can hurt, break my bones, but words never hurt me, but it's not true. Words can pierce like a sword. And then we also lie because of fear, the fear of consequence of wrongdoing. We do something wrong and then we lie to cover ourselves. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to lose my wife or my husband or my kids, or I don't want to be found out, or I don't want to go to jail. So we lie and we're afraid. Or we're afraid of hurting others or being found out. Or we lie out of embarrassment to save face sometimes. Sometimes it's unbelievable. People will lie for the stupidest things. It doesn't really even matter, but we just don't tell people the truth because we don't want them to think less of us. And so we embellish a story and we lie because we want to save face. What kinds of lying do we do? Well, we lie through slander, which is through malicious intent to damage a person's character, reputation. We say something slanderous about another person because we want to hurt them. Or we gossip. We call it commonly backbiting. And many times it's not true, but we are saying behind a person's back what we would never say to their face. That's gossip. You know, there is a little acrostic that you can use to help yourself before you speak. You take the word think and you write it straight down, T-H-I-N-K. And you ask yourself, first, before you say something, is it true? Secondly, is it helpful? Thirdly, is it inspiring? And then fourthly, is it necessary? And lastly, K, is it kind? Think. Before you speak, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? You know, even if it's not a lie, it's truthful. There are times it's not necessary. It's not kind. It's not going to inspire. Do I really need to say that? You know, this is so important in marriage when you're maybe talking to one another as couples and you're thinking, I'm going to say it. And you know it's not kind. You know it's not edifying. You know it's going to cause harm. You know, you're just so mad. You're so angry. You want to get them. So you say it. When you do, one little word. And there it set it off, man. And you think, why did I say that? Because you're a sinner, that's why. The bottom line is that we lie because we are sinners. The whole reason we need vows. Why do we need contracts? Because we're liars. And it's amazing. We put so much in this little tiny, tiny small print. You got to get a microscope to read it. Because we're a nation of liars. Contracts binding people to keep their word. We also lie through flattery. Flattery is telling someone something to their face that we wouldn't say behind their back. Gossip is saying something behind someone's back you wouldn't say to their face. Flattery is saying something to their face that you would never say behind their back. And then there's exaggeration. Oh, this is something that is so common. Wow, you should have seen it. 30 cars. Bodies flying everywhere. Actually, it was one kid on a bike hit a tree. I mean, so subtly. Or have you ever been just telling somebody a story and accidentally you just don't say it quite right, but the way you said it is better than it really was? And people go, wow. And you go, oh, they're digging it. And so you just kind of keep telling it and you never go, you know what, that wasn't quite right, but... You know, really, it was only two cars and they just backed into each other at Stater Brothers parking lot. But we embellish it and we exaggerate. And we even do that in the church and God's work. Oh, there were thousands of people. Six people showed up. That's called evangelistically speaking. Untold millions have been blessed by this man's ministry, you know. We don't know that. And we exaggerate or we embellish. How many times is there a person, or sadly maybe you yourself, people after you say something will not believe you because they know you exaggerate. Now, they don't call you a liar. They just say, well, he has a tendency to exaggerate. Hey, do you know what so-and-so told me? Well, I wouldn't believe it because, you know, they do exaggerate a lot. Really? So now you're suspicious and you never know if it was really factual. So we need to be clear in our speech and not exaggerate or stretch the truth to try to make ourselves look good or, in you know, embellish the story. And then there's insinuation. In Job 1:9, Satan came before God and says, does Job fear God for nothing? He asked him a question that insinuated that Job was a mercenary. He's only serving you because of what he gets. And sometimes we can drop our little insinuations, insinuating that somebody's not true or honest or that they did such and such a thing. And then you can also lie by just keeping your mouth shut, silence. Maybe you hear something that's not true about a person, but you don't like that person very much, so you're not going to say anything. You just let them believe it. Called the sin of omission. You know that you've just lied. You haven't been truthful. When you can speak up and clarify an issue and save someone's reputation and you keep yourself quiet, then you have actually lied. Now don't forget the destruction of lying. It brings the destruction of self. You don't know who you really are anymore. You're self-deceived. Others do not know the real you. You become fearful. They will find out who you really are. You feel that guilt. You feel that shame, that pressure of being found out. It's sad. And then there's the destruction to others. Bring lying and deceit into a relationship, and it will never, ever be the same. I'm not saying that you can't still have a relationship, but I'm saying it will never be the same. You can never redo the damage that lying brings. There'll always be that element of doubt. Are they being truthful? Are they being honest? Once you violate somebody's trust, it is impossible to fully regain it. You can regain some of it, but it will never fully be regained. So in a marriage relationship, that marriage is wounded for the life of that marriage. That's why you can't emphasize enough the importance, never violate your spouse's trust. And we lie in little things. Honey, did you take the trash out? Cans are still in the garage. Yes, dear, because you know you're going to take them out in 10 minutes. And you don't want to fight. You don't want to argue. She says, I thought you said you took them out. Oh, I'm going to right now. Figure that one out. You know, it's just a little white lie we say. I'm going to do it in a few minutes. It doesn't matter. I just don't want to get an argument. Well, you're not being truthful. And that little tiny termite of doubt begins to get in there and eat away that relationship. Boy, if he's going to lie about little things like taking the trash out, you know, what, why not a little bigger thing, and where does it all stop? Or he or she or whatever. And we need to be truthful. Well, if I tell him the truth, we're going to get in an argument. Well, we're getting in an argument. It's going to cause problems. Well, we need to be honest. It brings the destruction of our relationship to others, and especially, thirdly, to God. It destroys you, it destroys others, and it destroys your relationship to God. He is the God of truth. Jesus is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all affected by my lying. They're all the God of truth. You know, even in the church, we must be careful. We come on Sundays and we say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'll serve you. You know, if you sing the songs that we sing here on Sunday morning, do you really mean what you say? Do you put into action what you say? It's kind of like crossing your fingers behind your back on Sunday morning as you worship the Lord. You sing, take my silver and my gold, not a mite will I withhold. And you go, don't really have to do it. Lord, I love you and I'll serve you and I'll obey you. But you got your fingers crossed. You don't really mean what you say. Are your words coming from a sincere heart? Sincerity of speech, honesty of speech must flow from an honest, sincere heart. And you know, that's the problem, the bottom line. When Jesus says there in verse 37, let your yes be yes and your no be no, anything beyond that comes from evil, from the evil one. The problem is your heart. Your heart needs to be changed. Some of us this morning need to ask God to forgive us for lying. Some of you need to go to somebody and straighten out an issue that you've been lying about. You have been untruthful about. One lie often leads to another lie and another lie and another lie. God begins to fade from view and you are living such a life of phoniness. There's no reality whatsoever in what you say, what you think, or what you do. You need to repent. There needs to be sincerity and honesty in your speech. We need Spirit-controlled speech. We need to say with the psalmist, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O God. Let's pray.